And in today's world, we and the world also, we have many opportunities with all the technology that's available to us, with all the many means of transportation that's available. We can go places today that many, many years ago might have seemed impossible to reach. You know, people would have just laughed at you if you would have told them some of the things and places we can go today. You know, we have the opportunity as God's people to attend the Feast of Tabernacles every year. And in doing that, we get to go to some pretty nice places. You might even label some of those exotic. You know, just ask some of our members here, probably the top of that list would be Panama City. For the most exotic feast sites you could go to. But if someone were to ask you the question, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would it be? I'm sure we've probably thought about that. Another way you might phrase that question is, what would you consider to be your trip of a lifetime? What would you consider to be your trip of a lifetime? And it's fun to think about such questions. And it can bring a sense of relaxation to us at times when we're really stressed out, things going on. It can sort of distract us from those difficulties and issues that we face if we start to think about, well, you know, what would be my ultimate escape from all of this? If I could go anywhere, where would that be? You know, and the answer to these questions would be very interesting if we were to take a poll. And it would be important to us as well, because they obviously would mean something to us, the reason we would choose a certain place over another. But those answers are not what I want to focus on today. And I hope I haven't made a mistake and set the stage so that everyone is daydreaming during the sermon about where they would like to go. What I want to look at today, rather than these answers, is along the lines of this idea of taking a trip of a lifetime. Another way you might phrase that or look at this question would be taking the journey of a lifetime. You know, life is a journey for all of us. You know, there are many different journeys that we go through and experience in our lives. Let's look simply, first of all, at the definition of a journey out of the dictionary. You know, simply, a journey is to travel or to pass from one place to another, or maybe take a trip. You know, it might suggest travel or passage from one place to another. So this word journey indicates to go on a trip. So we may use those two words interchangeably. To travel towards a destination that we may or may not know the exact location of. And what I mean by that is we know what our destination is. You know, if it's a certain hotel or if it's a certain condo or a certain city or if it's God's kingdom. You know, we know what the destination is, but we don't know exactly where it is. You know, it's not always as simple as getting in the car, getting in a plane, and going from point A to point B. There's a lot of other things involved with a journey. You know, it's a lot of work sometimes. You know, it'd be too easy just to go from point A to point B. You know, we may also not know the duration of the journey. We don't always know how long it's going to take to get there. You know, we might have a pretty good idea, but we don't always know exactly because there are things that come up that we didn't plan on, unforeseens or various delays. You know, we were on a journey today. Most of us were, a journey to services. And we do this every week. You know, and we were talking in the car. My children are getting old enough, they start to realize, you know, what the trip is all about. So they ask, you know, are we almost there? Or is this the right direction? Or, Daddy, you're driving too fast. You need to slow down and get over. But My daughter made this comment. We were just up the street. She said, "I wish we lived next door to church so we could just walk over to church so we didn't have to rush around and do all this stuff and make the trip to church." And we got a resounding amen from everyone in the car, especially my wife. You know, it is difficult, especially with younger children, to prepare to come. You know, we have about an hour and 15-minute drive, and there are others in here that have that as well. But there's a lot of things that, you know, my wife has to do, and she does most of it, unfortunately. But there are things you have to do to get ready for the trip. You know, it's not as easy as just walking next door to services. And my daughter also, while she was wishing that, wanted there to be a beach here as well. So, while she's wishing, she might as well shoot high, I guess. And she also told me not to talk too long, and if I did, she was going to tell Mr. Keller's on me. So, anyway, I had the opportunity with the previous job that I had to travel around the world. You know, many people in here have been to a lot of neat places. I've been to many different countries. You know, I've been to some really nice places, and I've been to some really not so nice places. And my wife and I have even had the opportunity, as most of you know, to travel to Russia for our two children. You know, that was really high on the list of being a journey of a lifetime. You know, that will be hard for us to top. It was very exciting, and it was very nerve-wracking as well. But you're probably ahead of me. But based on the definition I gave you of what a journey is, you know, being a passage from one place to another, you and I are all on a journey. You know, we're on a journey from our carnal way to that of God's way. We're on our journey from physical to spiritual. And we are on the ultimate journey of a lifetime. You know, and that journey is to reach God's kingdom. And today I want to look at some aspects of traveling on a journey. You know, traveling this journey of a lifetime. And I'll use some of the examples from our travels, and we'll use some examples from the Bible to illustrate how these different aspects of taking a journey of a lifetime can apply and carry over to our spiritual journey that we're on. So I'd ask you two questions to start off with. Are you prepared for this journey? Second question, will you finish the journey? Are you prepared for this journey, and will you finish this journey? My purpose today is to encourage us to finish this journey that we have embarked upon. You know, sometimes we may be out driving around, going somewhere, and we all of a sudden just decide, you know, hey, let's go over here, let's go there, let's go to this place or that place. You know, and we take off on our way to a certain place or event. This would be going somewhere on a whim or going on an impulse, doing something spontaneously. Sometimes this can be very good. And I get criticized a lot for not being more spontaneous in things like that. So I have some work to do in that area. I just like to be prepared, I guess, is my excuse. But our spiritual journey is a journey of a lifetime for us. This is our time. God has called us to make this journey. The spiritual journey of ours, it's not like one of those trips that we go on a whim or an impulse. Let's look at some verses to start off that will help set the stage for you and I and this journey of a lifetime. And you can just write these down and read them later. These are all very familiar verses. But John 6:44, it says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day." Matthew Henry's commentary makes a comment on this verse that for an individual to come to God, to follow God's way of life, a change must take place within that individual. And we all know that and we recognize that. But it's God that causes that change to occur. God chooses an individual. And God has chosen you and I. He's chosen all of us in this room. An individual cannot just decide, on a whim, hey, I'm going to take this journey to God's kingdom. God calls that individual. The Creator of the universe makes the choice that He wants you. You can put your name in there. He wants you to be a part of His family. He chooses you. He chooses us. We understand God's plan of salvation. And we know that if He doesn't call someone today in this time, they will have an opportunity later. Another verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame those which are mighty. And we know God chooses the weak. God chooses the foolish. God doesn't choose necessarily those that, have the most money or have the most brains or have the best looks. God uses ordinary people, chooses ordinary people. And looking at these verses, it shouldn't cause us to get the attitude or to be puffed up and feel like, I'm better than everyone else. That's not the point of pointing out these verses. The point is that we realize, God, as our Creator, has chosen us for a purpose. He has something really great planned for all of us. And part of this purpose is to prepare the way for His kingdom to be established. You can read on in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. I won't read those, but what you'll find there is that this is a gift from God. This calling, what God has called us, what He wants to offer us, it's a gift that He is giving to us. We can't buy it. We can't earn it. God has given us a tremendous gift by calling us to His way of life. He's called us to make this journey of a lifetime, this spiritual journey of a lifetime. So what I want to establish by those verses that we've just looked at is that this calling by God is a very special gift that He has chosen to extend to us. And it's easy for us, me especially sometimes, to lose focus of that fact and how important it is and how special it is if we really sit down and think about what it is that God is offering to us. This journey, as I mentioned, is not a spontaneous trip that we can take on a whim. There has been a lot of thought and a lot of preparation put into this journey. And that preparation and that thought was done by our great God. So we are different. We are also special, if you will, but not to the point that we should get puffed up, arrogant, get the big head, feel that we're better or above anyone else. This journey that we're on it's a serious business that we're on. It's the most important journey that we will ever undertake. We use our physical lifetime to try and prepare ourselves to be a part of God's eternal spiritual family. We must complete this journey. Are you prepared for this journey? Will you finish this journey? And I have six aspects of a journey that I want to look at today. But I want to give you briefly a recap of one of our journeys. And most of you have probably heard this before, but I will try to keep it brief again. But it was our trip to Russia. You know, that was a foreign land for us, but we had a purpose and we prepared for that journey. And there was a lot of preparation that went into that. You know, a lot of uncertainties as to what you will need and, you know, what, you know, just a lot of stuff we had to deal with. And my wife did most of that preparation for us as far as packing, trying to plan what our new baby would need. And there was also mental preparation. And we had to be prepared for the interviews that we had in the country, you know, with the court hearings and various questions that we might be asked. We had to be prepared for that. And we had several documents that we had to take with us as well. And everything had to be in order. It had to be just right. You know, everything had to be just right. And we needed to make sure that we didn't lose all of these documents and lose these things between here and there, you know, some several thousand miles away. And we made our trip over there, and the morning of our visit before the judge, we had to wait about 3.5 hours. We had to sit outside in the car waiting for our appointment. So you're already nervous, anxious, plus you're sitting and waiting. And our time finally came for our appointment, and unfortunately for us, our judge was not very happy that day. She'd had some people before her or before us that didn't have everything like they were supposed to, and so she was pretty upset. You know, we could hear this out in the hallway waiting. You know, there was lots of loud voices and talking, but she was not happy. And we drew the straw of going in first after this episode to deal with her. And she started to, at first, give us a difficult time about our religious beliefs. And we had already listed and discussed and described these in all of our documents, and she had those and had reviewed them, but she still had questions about those, and she was sort of giving us a more difficult time than we were hoping for. And so there were some tense moments in there, and, you know, they're doing all their talking, and then it gets translated to us, we respond, and it goes back, and you can tell by all the facial expressions and tones of voice that she's not all that thrilled. You know, something still not quite pushed her buttons. You know, we would stand there and answer a question, and then we'd be praying silently. You know, I hope I've said the right thing, or let me be ready for the next question. But anyway, we sweated out for a little bit through all this, and finally, I had a picture of our daughter, who we'd adopted a couple years before, in my pocket, and I pulled that out. You know, and we showed that to the judge and to the other people, and it was like you finally pushed the right button. Her countenance, you know, went from this frown and unhappy to smiling and happy. You know, she realized, hey, maybe they can take care of this child. So after that was over, then we were on the downhill slide, and things smoothed over for us, and our adoption was granted. And then we had to make the trip home. And this was pretty interesting, because we were delayed out of Moscow for about 4 hours, and we got there early anyway. So we sat in the airport several hours with the baby, which was not very enjoyable. And we finally got to Amsterdam, which was our stayover for the night. And our son was still a Russian citizen at this point, so he had to have a visa to get into the Netherlands. And they couldn't issue that at the airport. They stopped doing that. So here we sit in the airport, and they tell us that he can't enter the country to spend the night at our hotel. But long story short, they make us wait for probably 3 or 4 hours, and, you know, sweating and doing this and doing that, and they have a shift change of all their their employees, and they finally get back around to us. And they say, well, we can do this, but it's going to cost you, I think it was about 35 euros, which was at that time was about $48, I believe. And it's got to be euros. It can't be American money. It can't be a credit card. This is what it's got to be. So I had to go back up in the airport, leave my wife and son, and go to an ATM that would exchange the money. And this, I mean, if I hadn't lived and went through this, there's no way I ever would have believed this would have happened. But I'm standing there, digging in my pockets, pulling out what money I have left, you know, looking at it, sticking it in the machine, and it's doing all this stuff, and, you know, it takes part of it. And I finally shove everything I have into this machine, and I get out of that machine 35 euro dollars and 10 euro cents, I believe it was. So I had almost exactly what I had to have. So I gathered that up, and we got through the airport, got to the hotel about 5 hours late. So we're tired and hungry. We get to sleep, and it gets better. We get up the next morning, and we think, okay, we're finally about to make it home with our child. We are in the airport, and the previous day, there's all sorts of delays, so the airport is packed with people. We're standing there waiting. We thought we were early enough for our flight. We check in, and turns out we had to go through the checkout instead of the electronic deal. But I'm standing at the checkout counter talking to the lady. She's processed my ticket, processed my wife's, and she all of a sudden says, "Whoop, the flight's closed. You can't get on it." And, you know, mouth drops open. "What do you mean I can't get on the flight? You know, it's leaving in 2 hours or whatever it is. Sorry, they just cut off the check-in. You can't get on this flight." "So you have got to be kidding me." And I turn around, my wife's crying. You know, here's our son. He's upset or anxious to get home. That's the way I like to look at it. "But what do you mean we can't get on the flight?" So we have to go to another ticket counter to help us. And we go, you have to pull a number. And we wait for the number to be called. And I looked at the number I had, and it wasn't even close. I mean, we were so far down the list that we were going to be there a week just to get our ticket. So, you know, you start praying and wondering, you know, what are we going to do? All of a sudden, two guys standing in front of us turn around, and they both pulled a number when they had walked up. And the guy says, "Here, I've got an extra one. You can have it." And it was maybe two numbers later, they called the number. They took us. The lady at the counter says, "I don't know if I'm going to be able to get you home today or not. You know, there's not much flights going back to where you want to go." I'm like, "Well, we got people meeting us at the airport. You know, what? Can't you do something?" And she looks and looks. "Oh, well, yeah." Finds us a flight, and she says, "You've got to come now." So she comes across the desk, runs us to check in. She said, "I want to check all your luggage in, and then we'll worry about getting you a ticket." So she does that, goes back, gets our tickets, and then she said, "You got to run." I said, don't walk. "You got to run to the gate." So we're running through the airport, stroller and baby bouncing and luggage, and we get to the gate, and then the line is forever. It's like, oh my, we're not going to get on the flight. So we were used to the custom in the airport. Usually families with small children get to go to the front of the line, so we went to the front of the line. I don't know if that was their custom or not, but we got to the front of the line. We got through security. We got in there. And then they said, "I'm sorry, but you don't have a ticket." I forget which one of us it was. But the three of us, we all didn't have a ticket. They said, "Up, but we've got an agent on the other side. Get through security and we'll sort this out." So we go through. They sort it out, get us a seat. And one thing we were looking forward to on our original flight is we were on the outside aisle, two seats, so it would be the two of us and our son. Everything is cozy. The seats we had on the new flight, we were in the middle, somebody on each side of us. So we were in the middle with the baby, but had a good attitude and said, "This is okay. I just want to go to America. I don't care how I get there." the flight attendants, you know, recognize, you know, the situation here. And they moved the guy sitting beside me, gave him a better seat, and allowed us to have three seats. They showered us with attention, you know, taking care of the baby with formula and milk, and just couldn't have been any better. And what really topped it off is with these adoptions, when your child becomes a U.S. citizen in the airport that the plane lands, wherever that city is, and we were scheduled to go to Detroit originally, but now on our new and improved travel plan, we came through Washington, D.C., which was kind of some icing on the cake. You know, what better place for our son to become a U.S. citizen than in the nation's capital? I know that's kind of long and maybe a boring story, but the point you'll see as we go through this is sometimes the journey that we're traveling on may not be ideally what we want. It may not be what we had set down and planned out on paper, or what we had dreamed up, or exactly what we wanted it to be. You know, it may be pretty uncomfortable. It may be scary. You know, there are going to be delays, problems, lots of unforeseen things that you can't plan for. But the point is, I hope you'll see once the sermon is over, that even though these journeys may be up and down, or they may take us the long way around, the important point is that we end up where we were trying to go. You know, the way we get there may be rough and bumpy, but we have to stay focused, continue that journey, and make sure we reach the goal. So, the first area, I want to look at these six aspects of a journey. And you can think about some of the things I just related in that story, you know, as we go through this, and how that could derail your trip. You know, it can sort of put you in a bad attitude if you're not careful. And we have to check ourselves and look at these different aspects. So the first aspect here is preparing for the journey. If you want to shorten it, you might call it preparation. But preparing for the journey is our first aspect. You've got to get ready to travel. You've got to get ready for your journey. You know, this is not one where you just jump in the car and take off and see where you end up. You've got to make sure you pack the things that you're going to need along the way. You're going to pack clothes, shoes, food, you know, proper documents, money, but to ensure that you can complete your journey. And we find a lot of times, even though we try really hard to prepare, sometimes we forget things, whether it be shoes, toothbrushes, underwear, or whatever. We forget things, but we have to adapt and move on. You know, and as I said, my wife did an excellent job in packing and preparing us for our journey. And I do sometimes give her a hard time for packing too much stuff. But it is nice when you get to where you're going to have the things that you need or the things that you would like to have. Our spiritual journey is the same way. We must make sure we have the things we need. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this sort of sets the basis or the groundwork or the foundation for our preparation, or what our preparation should be. This will be our starting point in our spiritual journey. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You know, God's Word is there to help us prepare for our journey, as well as to help us along the way during our journey. You know, God has laid out for us a set of laws in the Ten Commandments and guidelines for us to live by. You know, these laws, these guidelines that God has put out there are the foundation for our journey. You know, that's the beginning of our preparation. You know, it's to start with what God has put there for us. You know, what we have in our Bibles is the starting point in our preparation for this journey. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You know, God's laws and His instructions to us form the basis or the starting point for our preparation for our journey. But there is another important aspect for us to prepare for our journey. Romans chapter 5, in verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Your faith here. Faith is a powerful tool for us. You know, if we use it. You know, it's through faith that we can be at peace, you know, with God and Jesus Christ, knowing we have access to them. You know, and God's Spirit also gives us the strength that we need. You know, God will give us His Spirit to help us, to strengthen us. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. Now, Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 1, your faith is the substance, or the realization of things hoped for. Now, the evidence of things not seen, or the confidence of things not seen. And we may not always understand what God has planned for us, or what He's put before us, or what He has in store for us. You know, but we know that we can trust Him. We can have faith in what He promises for us. In verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, he prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Noah prepared for his journey. Ask you some questions about that. You know, about Noah's preparation. You know, what we read here is that he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. You know, when Noah was divinely warned of things not yet seen, and then he moved with godly fear. How long did Noah prepare for his journey? You know, when God told him the flood was coming, did Noah pack his bags and head for the airport or to the port to get on the ship? You know, how long did he prepare? Noah worked years and years building the ark, getting ready for the flood. You know, people laughed at Noah. They made fun of him and they ridiculed him. You know, what's this crazy old man building a boat out here in the desert for? You know, there's not enough water to float that. You know, people went about their lives. You know, those people, they were playing, living it up, having fun. But what was Noah doing? Noah was following the instructions that God had given him. He was preparing for his journey. Noah had a plan he was working on. He had a goal he was striving for. It probably seemed, maybe even to Noah, like a long shot, you know, that a great flood going to come on the earth. You know, does the boat does this ark really need to be this big, God? You know, couldn't I just take my family up into the mountains or something and you stop the water a little short? You know, can we do something else? Do we really need to build the ark? You don't have to turn there, but in Genesis 6, verse 22, this is the statement there. And Noah was faithful. And after all this, he was told, thus Noah did, according to all that God commanded him. So he did. Noah was faithful. And Noah took God's instructions, what God told him to do. Noah prepared for his journey. It's a statement I saw the other day on a Baptist church sign. It said, faith doesn't make things easy. It makes them possible. I thought that was a pretty neat saying. Faith doesn't make things easy. It makes them possible. Do you see any parallels to Noah's experience and to our spiritual journey? And I'm sure you do. But people in the world around us seem to be living it up. They're having fun. They're doing whatever they want to do without any worries about tomorrow. But what are we doing? What are you and I doing? Are we giving up things? Are we missing out on things? Are we suffering? I don't think so, really. I'll answer for myself. I can't answer for everyone else, but I don't think so. You and I are preparing for a spiritual journey of a lifetime. You know, our reward and our excitement is ahead of us. It's waiting for us. You know, just like Noah. You know, Noah was given instructions. Seemed kind of odd that this guy's building the ark. People laughed at him, made fun of him. But he did it. He prepared for his journey. Let's make sure that you and I are like Noah. And then it can be said about us, you know, just as Noah. Thus Noah did, or thus, put your name in there, did, according to all that God commanded him. And so he did. Are you prepared for this journey? And will you finish this journey? The second area, or second point, is that the journey will not always be easy. And that may come as a shock to you, but the journey will not always be easy. There might be times that we want to quit, might even want to turn back. You know, there were times during our journey that I described to you earlier, things were pretty difficult. And it would have almost been easier for me in the airport in Amsterdam to just, you know, throw my hands up, okay, this is the way it's going to be. I'll go find a bench and wait till the airport clears out, and then we'll see about getting a flight home. And that was tempting. I didn't tell my wife that, but that was tempting. You know, sometimes it takes courage, it takes energy, it takes maybe something that we don't think we have to be able to step forward and keep going when it seems like that it's just too much. You know, in our, you know, I said there was temptation to quit. You know, and I believe and think, you know, I know God had a hand in that. You know, there's just, you couldn't have written that kind of story. You know, I don't have that kind of imagination. But I know God was playing a part with that. You know, both physically and mentally, because it was very stressful. You know, and then we were able to get out of a foreign country and bring our son home. And I didn't mention it, but after all that stuff I described to you, we were flying back into Nashville. We got back into Nashville about 30 minutes later than what we were supposed to originally. After all the other mess that we went through, we were only about 30 minutes late. So, sometimes it's not easy. Matthew chapter 7, if you would. This again is another very familiar scripture to us. talking about our calling and this life that God has called us to. And it's not always going to be easy. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it." You know, all those people that we think now are living it up, you know, they're the ones that are out there having all the fun today. You know, going through the wide gate. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who find it. You know, narrow is the gate that you and I are walking through. The life that we're trying to live, that God has called us to. You know, it's not easy. You know, that's the one thing that we haven't been promised, that it will be easy. And we have been promised that God will see us through. He won't forsake us. He won't leave us. He won't give us more than we can handle. But we are not promised that it will be easy. You know, God's way is not always the easiest. And it can be downright difficult sometimes. You know, many people in this room, as I look around, have put a lot of years in to following God's way of life. Been doing it a long time. You know, you've had ups and downs. Probably had some bumps and bruises along the way. But all in all, by looking around here today, you've managed to come through that adversity in one form or another. So why then would anybody ever want to consider, well, I don't know if I can go on anymore. I've just had enough. Or quit. You know, why would they? You know, it's difficult to answer that question. You know, but we know that God's way is not always easy. But we have to have faith and trust in Him that He will help us and to deliver us. You know, God doesn't want us to turn back. He wants us to keep going. He wants to give us that reward that He has promised us. You know, He wants to add us to His family. You know, He doesn't want us to perish, or doesn't want anyone to perish. You know, so turning back is not an option for us. You know, going back to our old ways is bad. You know, and it's mentions in 2 Peter chapter 2. You don't have to turn there, but you can look that up later. You know, it might even be better that you had never known God's way than if you know it and turn back. It's also important that we have the right attitude and conduct while we travel on our journey. Philippians chapter 2, a little bit of insight into this attitude and conduct. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure, and to do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." As I mentioned, sometimes it may seem difficult. Things may get difficult for us. You know, but we are encouraged to try and have the right attitude through it all. And it is difficult. You know, I won't deny that. Sometimes, you know, things get a little out of hand, and we have trouble, you know, with our attitudes or our minds, and it's hard to do, and it takes work. But again, that's part of this preparation, you know, realizing that it's not an easy road that we're traveling. The third aspect is that the journey will be tiring, both physically and mentally. You know, the journey will be tiring. You know, if you've sure we've all experienced this. If we take a trip of any length at all, it does make you really tired. You know, and sometimes it takes a while to get over that, especially if you're flying somewhere and you experience jet lag. So we need rest during our journey. You know, we need to be recharged in order to continue on our journey. Now, Joshua chapter 22, if you turn back there. Joshua chapter 22. And in verse 4. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren, as he promised them. Now therefore return and go to your tents and to the land of your possession, which Moses, a servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. What we see here is that God gave the children of Israel rest, as they needed. But then there also was something here that was required of them, in order for them to continue receiving this rest. And that is that they were to continue to follow and obey God, and to hold fast to Him and to serve Him with all their heart and with all their soul. So for us, it's much the same. Our journey is going to be tiring, both physically and mentally. And we're going to need rest. So where do we find that rest? Where do we get the rest that we need? One way we get that rest is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. You can just jot that down and read it later. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The second part of that there tells us, as times get worse and worse and things get more difficult, we're going to need each other. We're going to need rest. We're going to need recharging more and more. It's going to be important for us to get that rest and recharging if we can keep moving forward. If you try to go out here on a journey, or a trip, if you're driving and you drive for hours and hours and hours, your eyes get tired, it's dangerous to proceed. I've been very fortunate in the many years that with my wife dating and then getting married and then coming here for services, and all those many years, I've been very blessed and fortunate not to have had any accidents. And I am very thankful for that. And ask for God's protection when we do travel. But there have been times when I probably should have pulled over, when I was just a little too sleepy. But we need rest, we need recharging on our journey, not only for our benefit, so we can go further, but so that it's not dangerous to us or to someone else. And the Sabbath gives us a chance to rest and recharge. And the older I get, the more I look forward to the Sabbath. I have to admit, when I was younger, I wanted to maybe play ball or do something right up to sunset, but by Friday at noontime, I'm ready to call it quits. That's close enough to stop, but I don't get to do that, unfortunately. But I really look forward to the Sabbath, when we can rest. Being at services also gives us a chance to hear God's Word expounded to us and hopefully give us encouragement as well. And we can help each other, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10. We can encourage each other. Being here with one another, talking about our experiences in the week, You know, it's helpful to encourage each other. And we are going to need this encouragement from each other the further we get into this journey. You know, those more experienced travelers among us will be able to offer encouragement and help to those that haven't been on this journey as long. We can help each other because it's likely to get much more difficult the further we go. And we get much needed rest, you know, from the ways of the world while we're at services, you know, and on the Sabbath. You know, we need a chance to be with people that think the same way we do. You know, if we are always around, you know, people of the world or co-workers during the week, it's easy to get pulled that direction. And so we need a break from that. We need each other's company to rest and recharge us. The fourth area. It's important to keep our eye on the goal or our destination. And we need to keep our focus on where our journey is headed. You know, why am I on this journey anyway? You know, where is it I'm going again? You know, you need to be thinking and you need to know where you're going. You know, with us, when things got pretty aggravating and frustrating and difficult, you know, there's a lot of red tape doing an adoption. You know, we were doing some of that stuff. The first response was almost to throw your hands up and say, I'm not filling out any more of this garbage. This is ridiculous. And then you think about, well, why am I doing this anyway? And then you get the pen back out and you finish filling it out. And we have to stay focused on what the goal is. Where am I headed? You know, and spiritually speaking, you know, we experience trials and difficulties. It's important to direct our focus on where it is we're headed, and that is to God's kingdom. You know, what will it be like to be a part of God's kingdom? There's so much evil and so much wickedness in this world all around us. You know, it's hard to escape that. You know, it's though people have no regard for God's way, His laws. You know, they're taking it down out of all the public places. You know, it's just, you really start to think about these conditions in the world, it really makes you discouraged. You know, the world's a terrible place. You know, we need God's kingdom, and we need it bad. You know, Matthew chapter 6 can help us to direct our focus on our goal, where we are going on our journey. You know, Matthew chapter 6. We'll start verse 31. Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall I wear? And we get caught up in the worries about our immediate needs. You know, for after all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father knows what you need, knows that you need all these things. You know, God knows our needs. God can take care of us. God can provide for us. Verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You know, if we get our priority right, our goal, you know, is to seek God's kingdom, to make it into God's kingdom. You know, have that as our goal, that's our direction, that's what we're focused on. You know, then God tells us He'll provide, take care of us. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. You know, God knows what we need, even before we know, and He will take care of us. You know, it's important to realize this as we go through this journey. You know, and that should help to comfort us, be very comforting and encouraging to us. You know, and this realization will also help us keep our eyes focused on the goal. You know, seek first God's kingdom above all else. You know, keep our eyes on the ultimate goal, and that is to make it into God's kingdom. And He will provide us with the things that we need. You know, don't fall victim to the "are we there yet" syndrome. I don't know there is such a syndrome, but I hear that in the car a lot. You know, "Daddy, are we there yet? Are we there yet? How much longer?" And what I mean by that is, well, sometimes with children especially, in the car for a long period of time, or airplane, whatever the mode of transportation is, children especially will get bored. You know, I get bored on a long trip. If I don't have a book, well, I don't read very much on trips, but if I don't have something to occupy me, I get bored on the trip. You know, and children do that. They get tired on the journey. You know, "Are we there yet? Are we there yet?" And that may, for some of us, you know, could be a problem for us. For those that have been living God's way for a long, long time. You know, they might have the tendency, if they're not careful, to get tired. You know, "Or am I ever going to make it? You know, are we there yet?" And we have to not fall victim to that way of thinking. "I just can't go any further." You know, and be ready to give up and quit. But God wants us to be a part of His family. He wants all of us to be in His family. So you might think of it this way, and it sounds quite simple, sounds almost too easy, this way. You know, one, if you follow and obey God, and two, you'll be in God's family. But there's a lot in between there. You know, it's not easy to just follow and obey God. You know, this journey is, it's a long journey, it's a hard journey, and it can be a difficult. You know, it can take us many different directions. So it's hard sometimes to stay focused. Fifth aspect here is to turn to God to guide us through our journey and to deliver us. Or rely on God to help us. And we'll look back at Exodus chapter 13 here briefly at the children of Israel to get some encouragement for us. You know, this is their example of leaving Egypt. Exodus 13. And in verses 17 through 22, you know, the people are leaving. Verse 17, "It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt." So something for us there is that if maybe the shortest distance might be the most difficult and trying distance, sometimes we may have to take the longer way around because maybe we couldn't handle the difficulties on that shorter route. So, and verse 22 there, "He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people." And so, in verse 21, "The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire." And so God was directing them. He was leading them. You know, and He was with them. And in chapter 14, we'll skip down to verse 10. You know, Pharaoh and his armies are pursuing the children of Israel. Verse 10, "When Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And then they cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us?'" And so things started to get a little difficult, and they were afraid. They were scared. And then in verse 13, Moses said, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, for you see today, you shall see them no more forever." So Moses is telling him, just stand back and watch God do His thing. get out of the way and let Him do His thing. You know, and we see them through the rest of the story. You know, God did deliver them. God took care of them. And He protected them. You know, God will do the same for us. As I mentioned, you know, it's not that it's going to be an easy trip. It may not be a short and direct trip either. It could be long and difficult. But God will guide us. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. In verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, God will take care of us and will guide us. You know, we need to turn to Him and ask Him for that guidance and the protection. You know, and then we can have faith that He will do what He says. As I mentioned earlier, He will never leave us nor forsake us. And also, we're told that He won't give us any more than we can handle. So it might be difficult, but we have to trust God to guide us through our journey and to deliver us. And the final aspect is that things will work out for the best. If we hold fast to our journey and we do all these steps, prepare and do our part, things will work out for the best, and that is we reach our destination. We finally reach our destination of our journey. You know, there's an old saying, that which doesn't kill us will make us stronger. I don't know the origins or who to give the credit to on that, but a lot of truth in that. You know, we missed our flight in Amsterdam. It was very discouraging. It was very difficult. You know, but as I've mentioned, things worked out for the best. We got a better flight home. Got a lot better service, I'm sure. And we made it home only 30 minutes later than we were supposed to. And we've got some great stories to tell our kids and tell people for years. So everything worked out best for that. You know, it was hard at the time to think about that while you're going through it, that anything good can come out of it. You know, but looking back, it did. It worked out for the best. Look at Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. We are headed on our journey toward God's kingdom. Yeah. It can be difficult, can have ups and downs. We may get some bumps and bruises, but it's important that we stay focused on what our goal is, on where we are trying to go. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And we have to stay with it. And we have to maintain our journey. Stay on this journey. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll start in verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. It says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. We should be running that we receive our crown. You know, not the imperishable, not the crown that perishes, but one that doesn't perish. You know, a crown that will not perish. We might lose sight of our goal occasionally because we can't get our hands completely around it. And we may not be able to totally understand everything. You know, but we must believe in God's Word. We must have faith in what He tells us. You know, we may not, and we don't necessarily have to understand every word in there. But we must believe God and trust Him and have faith in those promises that He gives us. You know, and the result and the reward for us, you know, will be far more than we can even imagine at this point. You know, what He has in store for us, you know, is almost beyond what we can wrap our human minds around sometimes. Are you prepared for this journey? And will you finish this journey? So the aspects we've looked at today is that we must be prepared for this journey. And that preparation is ongoing. It's not pack one time, pack everything in a suitcase, close it, and then I'm through preparing. You know, we have to continually be preparing. So it's a continuous process for us. Secondly, is this journey will not always be easy. May never be easy. But it will not always be easy for sure. Third is that the journey will be tiring. You know, we're going to get tired. And we're going to need rest and we're going to need to be recharged. Fourth is that it's very important that we keep our eyes on our destination. We have to know where we're going. Where are we trying to reach on our journey? And fifth is that we will trust that God will see us through the journey. You know, God will see us through. And finally, things are going to work out for the best. You know, we will reach our destination. You know, we will win if we stay with it. You know, we're all going to be winners. You know, to have our place in God's kingdom and in His family. And if we endure, if we finish our journey, we reach our destination, our journey of a lifetime will be a journey into eternal life. You know, those that endure to the end, those that finish this journey, will receive the crown of life. So I ask you again, are you prepared for this journey? And will you finish this journey?